Muy buenos días, estimado radioescucha. Soy el doctor Leonardo Claros y este es su programa Hablando con su Doctor. Como es costumbre, todos los sábados por la mañana es un placer el estar con ustedes en sintonía. Gracias por acompañarnos, gracias por estar con nosotros, gracias por una vez más escuchar lo que tenemos que decir. Un privilegio el estar en su casa, en su automóvil. Estamos gratos de tenerlos en la mañana como invitados. En el Valle tenemos varias radios, Mega 106.9 FM Allentown, 99.5 FM Lehigh Valley y 92.9 FM en Redding. Así que esta mañana, como es costumbre, en el formato de nuestro programa, tengo un invitado. Y es interesante lo que vamos a discutir. Hemos hablado muchas veces sobre estas cosas en el pasado, pero quiero que le demos la bienvenida a este invitado. Y vamos a hablar sobre que a medida que las personas envejecen, el cuerpo cambia. Las articulaciones se vuelven más rígidas, empieza a perder músculo y a ganar grasa. La elasticidad de las articulaciones, de los músculos, pues empiezan a cambiar. Uno no se siente tan fuerte o tan ágil. Incluso la forma del cuerpo cambia, afectando nuestro equilibrio. Mientras ocurren estos cambios físicos, es posible que se sienta tentado a quedarse más en casa y estar solo. Cada uno de estos cambios es un signo de envejecimiento. Puede resignarse a pensar que es solo la progresión natural de la vida. Sin embargo, debe saber que hay formas de desacelerar este proceso de envejecimiento. Sus elecciones de estilo de vida determinarán la rapidez o lentitud de estos cambios a medida que envejece. Además, tomar decisiones saludables puede reducir el riesgo de enfermedades como afecciones cardíacas, accidentes cerebrovascular, diabetes tipo 2 y algunos tipos de cáncer. La dieta y el ejercicio también están relacionadas con los beneficios de salud mental. La investigación indica que el ejercicio físico mejora la función cognitiva en los adultos mayores. La función cognitiva es que también funciona su cerebro para comprender los pensamientos y las experiencias. Mantener actividad social y pasar tiempo con amigos es otra opción de estilo de vida importante que puede tener un impacto positivo en su salud y bienestar. Estudios científicos han demostrado que los adultos mayores, inclusive con actividad social moderada, tenían una declinación física y mental más lenta. Además, estas personas mayores más activas necesitaban visitar a sus médicos con menor frecuencia. Es sobre este tema que vamos a hablar en esta mañana. Y es un placer tener como invitado a Brian Sarvatani, un entrenador personal certificado que trabaja con nosotros en St. Luke's y es el director de condicionamiento y rendimiento deportivo una vez más para la red. Así que demos la bienvenida, Brian. Welcome, good morning. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you for having me.
What a pleasure to have you here. I was just giving a little introduction of what we're going to be talking today, but I want to start with who is Brian Sarvatani? Where do you come from? Where did you train? What brought you to St. Luke's? Hablemos un poco sobre quién es Brian Sarvatani, de dónde viene, cuál es su educación, qué es lo que lo atrae a la red de salud de St. Luke's aquí en el Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, I originally grew up in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, so I've been in Lehigh Valley my whole life.
So you're a local, really?
I am a local, yeah. So I know a lot about the area, and I know a lot about the people of the area, and you know what our common grounds are, and what we do in the Lehigh Valley. I graduated from Lock Haven University in Pennsylvania with a degree in fitness management, and I really started my career about 25 years ago as a personal trainer. And along that journey, I really started getting into people that had injuries and trying to help people just outside of just general fitness. And that's what led me to working in with orthopedics, and that's what led me to working for St. Luke's.
25 años de experiencia, una persona realmente nativa en el área, estuvo aquí en New Jersey, y alguien que ha certificado lo que es el entrenamiento y condicionamiento deportivo, condicionamiento físico, y algo que le atrae una vez más las lesiones que tienen los pacientes, y por eso es que he estado trabajando con el Departamento de Ortopedia y Traumatología. Así que realmente un placer el tenerte aquí como invitado, Brian. Hablemos un poco sobre el tema de hoy. Estamos tratando sobre la importancia de mantenernos activos y ágiles a medida que envejecemos. ¿Por qué eso es importante? Today we're talking about the importance of staying active and limber as we age. Why is this so important?
Well, there's so many benefits as far as making sure that you, you know, stay limber and stay, you know, the activity level is obviously the most important thing no matter what you're doing. I really don't try to push any one particular activity as long as it's something that you feel that you can stick with. You know, some of the important things that you have with that are obviously enhancing your activities of daily living, improving your independence, and also improving your posture and balance throughout life, and making sure that we can kind of maintain the type of lifestyle that you want to be able to maintain throughout your life.
Importantísimo mantener actividades físicas, postura, acondicionamiento y esas cosas. Y una vez más, Brian nos está hablando sobre por qué es importante hacer eso. Is there such thing as we age, we should not be, you know, realizing certain types of activities? Maybe we shouldn't be as active as before because we're risking injury. I know that a lot of people kind of believe that. But the problem is that they tend to err towards, you know, becoming more sedentary. They're like, well, I don't want to hurt myself. When in reality, when they're becoming sedentary, they're actually hurting themselves and preventing them from being healthy. Muchas veces que la gente piensa, bueno, tal vez no es bueno que haga tanto ejercicio, tanta actividad física a medida que estoy haciéndome mayor. Pero en vez de beneficiarse de eso, más bien tienen problemas de que se están anquilosando, no tienen la condición física necesaria, y a la larga eso les va a causar problemas de salud.
Yeah, I do find that a lot, where people really put their activities levels based on what their age is as opposed to what they're actually capable of. And that's a hard concept for some people to get. They recognize what age they are and decide like, oh, well, I shouldn't be doing that anymore. And I always tell people, hey, you do what you're actually capable of. I have some of my clients that are, you know, in their 70s, and I do boxing with them because they're capable of doing it. And that just goes to show you what exercise can do for you. These are people that have been exercising for a very long time and have stayed active their whole lives, and it allows them to do those things as they age and not be worried about having age be their limiting factor.
Boxing at 70 Asian.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Hablando de que no debemos dejar que la edad nos ponga impedimentos de la actividad física. Brian nos hablaba de que tiene un cliente que tiene 70 años de edad y que está haciendo actividad física, que está haciendo boxeo. Y obviamente con la debida supervisión, con el debido condicionamiento, pues esas actividades son posibles. There are many examples of other cultures where they remain active, you know, much, much longer, you know, well into their golden years. They perform Tai Chi and certain types of, you know, activities. And we know without a question that they have like greater longevity, better health and things. So is there something there that probably America can learn from other cultures? Hay culturas donde los ejercicios y la actividad física pues se prolonga en estadios mucho, mucho mayores en lo que refiere a edad. Y pues tenemos gente haciendo meditación, el Tai Chi, ejercicios. Y a veces yo creo que esa gente pues tiene mucho menos problemas de salud. ¿Hay algo que podríamos aprender en América de ese tipo de sociedades o de culturas?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a mindset and where that kind of really started from, I'm not really sure, but as we start getting more and more of these jobs that are sedentary, you know, we do a lot of computer work now, we do a lot of other things that are at, you know, computers or at desks and so forth, and I really think that started this whole situation where in this country we've become more and more sedentary. I think the other problem that we have to the mentality is that exercise isn't exclusive to weight loss. I think a lot of times people decide, oh, I need to exercise because I need to lose weight. You have those people that maybe don't have a weight problem and they say, well, I don't need to exercise because I don't need to lose weight. And that's where we really try to focus on, look, this is more about health, lifestyle and activity, and maintaining a lifestyle that you can do forever. And that's where, you know, the age factor really comes in. When we're younger, we don't really think about what we're going to be like as we get older, so some of these other things kind of fall to the wayside, and you really need to stay active this whole time, so then that way you're better as you get older.
Podemos aprender muchísimo de otras culturas donde la actividad física pues es preponderante. Brian nos recordaba de que hay personas que no necesariamente asocian la actividad física con salud. Muchas veces están asociando la actividad física con la pérdida de peso. Hay gente que no necesita perder peso, pero no necesariamente. Si usted no tiene problemas de sobrepeso, pero usted realiza actividad física, pues se va a asegurar de que tenga una vida longeva, que no tenga problemas de salud. Así que eso es realmente importante y es una de las cosas que estamos tratando de ponderar en la mañana de hoy. Brian, ¿qué problemas de salud pueden surgir si uno no permanece activo a medida que envejece? What health issues may arise if one does not stay active as they get older?
Yeah, there's a variety of things, and obviously we know that exercise isn't necessarily a cure, but it certainly can help ward off a lot of things that kind of come along as we age, whether it's high blood pressure, whether it's, you know, high cholesterol. One of the things that we know is that staying active can cut the risk of your cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and obesity by almost 50%. So it's a huge piece in maintaining your health and your lifestyle. And it also helps as far as warding off certain types of cancers. And as I said, exercise can't necessarily cure things, but the amount of things that it can help help you stay out of is huge. And again, that's why we really kind of focus on the health aspect of exercise when it comes to the things that we do with St. Luke's.
La actividad física puede reducir el problema o el riesgo que tiene una persona en desarrollar ya sea hipertensión, problemas cardíacos o problemas de obesidad o de diabetes en casi un 50%. Muchísimas veces solamente con realizar actividad física podemos comer tal vez un poco más y podemos mantenerse en un peso adecuado. Así que yo creo que en la actualidad el gran problema que tenemos no solamente de sedentarismo, pero de problema de mala alimentación, es que están contribuyendo largamente al problema de la obesidad. Vaya, nos hablaba de que podemos previtar, no necesariamente vamos a poder, digamos, curar algunas enfermedades, pero podemos largamente prevenirlas antes de que se desarrollen con el hecho de ser activos. Estimado Radio Escuchas, este es su programa Hablando con su Doctor. Soy el Dr. Leonardo Claros, jefe de la sección de cirugía bariátrica. Mi invitado el día de hoy es el entrenador personal certificado Brian Sarbatani. Él trabaja con nosotros en la red de salud de St. Luke's y estamos hablando sobre la importancia de mantenerse activo y en condición física a medida que envejecemos. Brian, ¿cuál es la diferencia entre los dolores y molestias comunes y cuando alguien debe comunicarse con su médico? Let's talk a little bit about the difference between common aches and pains and when someone should reach out to their doctor for a formal evaluation.
Yeah, you know, the pain tolerance and the pain threshold for people is such a personal thing for them. And one of the things you really need to understand is really when is there a change? You know, you kind of have an idea of how you're feeling day to day and when has something become a change. When we discuss pain, we really discuss it as whether it's acute or chronic. And so acute being something that's going to last for a shorter amount of time, something that might have happened to you, some sort of injury, a pulled muscle, a stubbed toe, one of those things where you recognize like, okay, well, this isn't normal, but I have an understanding that that's going to pass. When we start talking about things that are chronic, those are things that can last maybe a week or two, but they can last for years. And that's when chronic pain can sometimes turn into disease or something that really needs to be seen by a doctor as far as, you know, pain management or something that could be arthritic, or it could also be something that's really trying to tell you that there's something wrong here and we need to take a look at that.
Es importante cuando tenemos un problema de dolor diferenciar, digamos, la etiología o la génesis de este. Muchas personas tienen diferentes calidades o cantidad de percepción de dolor y puede ser muy subjetiva. Así que Brian dice que cuando se están evaluando a los profesionales de este tipo, se pregunta una vez, ¿este dolor es agudo? Tal vez no es crónico o más bien es crónico de larga duración. Un dolor agudo podría durar solamente unos días, está relacionado con una lesión, tal vez un golpe, una caída, pero eso generalmente va a mejorar y puede necesitar un tratamiento bastante corto y pues los síntomas generalmente recuperan. Un dolor crónico podría ser algo que dure semanas, podrían ser meses, podrían ser años. Y esto no solamente podría ser, digamos, algo somático, pero podría ser la reflexión o el reflejo de un problema mucho más serio. Así que, obviamente, si los problemas son crónicos, si algo, digamos, no estuviera mejorando, es importante que usted lo discuta con su médico y que sea propiamente o debidamente evaluado para asegurarse de que no haya ningún problema a larga. Brian, ¿cuáles serían las mejores formas de mantenerse ágil? ¿Hay ejercicios simples a seguir? ¿Nos puedes dar algún ejemplo? Let's talk about what are the best ways to stay limber. What are the, are there simple exercises to follow?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to the health aspect and with exercise. And one of the things we don't really look at enough is just the simple act of moving in and of itself is going to help you at so many different levels. So staying active, whether it's being, you know, cleaning the house, walking through the park, those kinds of things, you don't really take that into the thought that it's exercise. But what we're really doing there is we're getting good blood circulation, which obviously helps all aspects of our life. And then also it helps to move the hormones and keep the hormones a little bit more stable, which in turn helps your joints, which in turn helps the muscle tissue. So any act of moving around, and obviously for those people that might have some injuries and so forth, making sure that we do some just general stretches. And those become kind of personal. Do we have some issues at the hips? Do we have some issues at the low back? And those are all things that you can, you know, either see a professional like myself at St. Luke's Fitness Centers, or, you know, even looking up on the internet by just typing in stretches for, you know, low back pain.
Importantísimo recordarle a la gente de que muchas veces solamente el mantenernos en movimiento, el caminar, el desarrollar actividad física en la casa, tal vez limpiando la casa, moviéndonos de un lugar a otro en el mismo trabajo, cada cierto tiempo levantarnos, estirarnos, salir a caminar en la hora del almuerzo, nos permite mantener un nivel o actividad física que va a asegurar que estemos sanos a la larga. Es importante que si alguien tiene, digamos, problemas, pues hagan una consulta con un especialista, con uno de los entrenadores médicos en salud, como es Brian, por ejemplo, para que sean evaluados de una manera más adecuada. Pero a recordarles que no necesariamente tenemos que ir a un gimnasio, no necesariamente tenemos que hacer actividad extenua, sino más bien el movernos, el caminar, pueden hacer que mucha gente pierda, digamos, sus problemas, unas libras de peso y mantenerse pues sanos a largo plazo. Así que eso es algo muy importante. There's so many people that associate, you know, activity with just being in a gym, just having a membership, and they don't realize, you know, just like you described, that doing little things at home, you know, going for a walk or a hike or just, you know, using a bicycle or things, you know, could just add so much more to the health. Mucha gente que no realiza o no se entera de que no necesariamente tenemos que estar en un gimnasio para ser sanos, ¿verdad?
Yeah, I mean, something as simple, people that they really don't think about, but they always do talk about when people have pets, right? And about how much pets and so forth really help them mentally. But I also think about it as, the people that have dogs also generally have to walk them and taking care of someone else. You know, even though we consider that an activity of daily living, we also need to think about that as that's some form of movement. And the people that really are, you know, kind of homebound and aren't doing as much for themselves really are losing out on these other benefits when they're really not trying to do something that needs to be specific. It doesn't need to be that way. Anything that you're doing, you know, whether it's going to the grocery store and saying, hey, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just spend more time walking around, whether it's going shopping in and of itself at a mall and saying, hey, you know, I'm not going to go and just get one thing. I'm going to go and walk the mall, yes. You know, and just simple activities like that where you can, you know, maybe extend your time. So then that way it's becoming something that becomes an activity.
Actividades físicas simples como el salir de la casa, ir al supermercado, ir al shopping mall, el caminar, el tener una mascota para salir y pasear al perro, o tal vez, no sé, corretear al gato en el jardín. Cualquier cosa que incremente su actividad física es importante para que usted no desarrolle a la larga pues problemas físicos, e incluso mentales. Hay gran cantidad de datos científicos que dicen que no solamente ayuda a la actividad física, sino también a la actividad cognitiva. Hay gran cantidad, hablemos un poco sobre, hay gran cantidad de datos y estudios que dicen que la actividad física no solamente mejora el condicionamiento físico, pero también la condición psicológica, fisiológica, neurocognitiva que tenemos. So there's a lot of data that says that the benefits of being active, staying limber, does not only benefit you you know, physically, but mentally as well. It keeps you sharp. You know, there's I know there's a lot of studies that say that, you know, people that actively exercise, they have a higher, a lower chance of developing Alzheimer's whenever they're aged. So this on itself is so important as well, don't you think?
Right. Yeah. I mean, from my perspective within, you know, the exercise itself, a lot of this stuff is really based hormonally and the changes that occur when exercise happens, you know, whether it be just the endorphins, whether it be the controlling of blood sugar levels for diabetes, and all these things all kind of render themselves into other, you know, aspects of your life as far as other chronic diseases, diabetes, you know, arthritis. And it just goes right back to, you know, the old adage that we've always said was move it or lose it. And that's one of the things that, you know, it's such a simple concept to get, but it's one of those things that people put to the side because, like you said, people have a tendency to think of exercise as being specific, going to a gym, lifting weights. And really, from the health perspective, we're really just talking about activity.
That's true, that's true. Muchísimas veces la explicación de los beneficios que tiene el ejercicio en las funciones no solamente fisiológicas, pero neurocognitivas, serían el hecho de que hay un... pues hay un alineamiento de las hormonas. El hacer ejercicio no solamente condiciona los músculos, pero también las funciones cerebrales, cosa de que este tipo de enfermedades, digamos el Alzheimer y otras cosas, podrían prevenirse. Así que Brian nos recuerda una vez más, no es necesariamente estar en un gimnasio, estar levantando pesas, pero sino el mantenernos activos, el caminar, el salir a dar una vuelta, el manejar una bicicleta. Si usted está en un gimnasio, pero está muy bien, pero no necesariamente tiene que hacer eso. Así que, estimado radio escucha, soy doctor Leonardo Claros, este es su programa Hablando con su Doctor. Mi invitado en esta mañana es Brian Zarbatani, es un entrenador personal certificado y es el director de condicionamiento y rendimiento deportivo en la red de salud de St. Luke's. Brian, what are some of the programs that St. Luke's offers to the community to help with this? ¿Qué es lo que hace St. Luke's? ¿Qué programas ofrece St. Luke's para ayudar con este tipo de problemas?
Yes, St. Luke's offers a variety of programming. You know, whether it's, you know, coming straight from our doctors and getting people into physical therapy, or coming to one of our fitness facilities where we offer the typical aerobics classes, yoga, Tai Chi, but then obviously what we do provide that's a little bit different than most facilities is we have full-time personal trainers at all of our facilities, and they're there to help you. Included in your memberships are to get a program written for you at no extra charge. So what we do every 3 months is we will go through and we'll design a personalized program for you based on what's happening with you at that moment. Obviously, through your exercise journey, there's going to be times where certain parts of your body feel great, certain parts of your body, maybe over the weekend you did something to yourself. And our training staff is available at all of our centers to help you with those questions that you have and help you with those problems that might have happened over the weekend. And we kind of can change your workouts right then and there for you and make sure that everything is really like catered to what you need for you at that time.
Los programas que ofrece St. Luke's pues van a estar personalizados de una manera directa con las necesidades de las personas. Tenemos entrenadores físicos y profesionales que los van a evaluar de una manera pero totalmente integral y completa. Y podemos ofrecerles programas ya sea de yoga, de tai chi, de aeróbicos. Tenemos múltiples localidades, o más bien dicho, en el valle. Así que es un programa realmente comprensivo. Los gimnasios son una belleza, pero de primer nivel. Tecnología de punta, equipos nuevos. Así que si nunca lo ha hecho, aproxímese a uno de los gimnasios de St. Luke's, ya sea que su médico lo refiera o usted venga, digamos, de visita. Las membresías que tenemos en los gimnasios de St. Luke's, pero son una belleza. What makes St. Luke's unique in the area in terms of, you know, physical fitness, conditioning? I know that our facilities are state of the art. I'm telling you because I'm really proud of that. I mean, we work across the street from West End. I continuously, you know, give talks in Anderson, you know, close to the fitness center.
Right.
And I know that the facilities are absolutely beautiful. What makes St. Luke's unique in that sense in the Valle? ¿Qué es lo que hace St. Luke's una organización única, particular, digamos, en el Valle?
Yeah, obviously different levels to us at St. Luke's. And one of the great things about it is our love for the community. What we do is we do for the community. And so as an example, every one of the trainers that I have on my staff has a minimum of a 4-year degree in some form of exercise science. So this isn't somebody, you know, you're not going to get a program written for you by somebody who just went to a weekend certification or says, oh, I like to work out so I can help you. Everybody on my staff is at the highest level that you can be as far as being a professional. And, you know, we have this great commentary between our training staff, our physical therapy staff, and our doctors. And, you know, there isn't really any disconnect among that. What we try to do is if you're in our system as far as a patient, the doctors will readily get in touch with, you know, myself to kind of work with the staff and work with the clientele to make sure that this is a cohesive medical environment for some people. So just like I said, outside of the just the general physical nature of exercise, there's so many other aspects of the health that we really need to take care of our community.
Tantas cosas que tienes en Lux, la calidad de los entrenadores, todas las personas que trabajan con Brian en el centro St. Luke's tienen como mínimo de 4 años de certificación en este tipo de profesión o de especialidad, así que no es alguien que haya tomado un curso de fin de semana que esté enseñando este tipo de cosas, así que tenga la seguridad que si se aproxima a alguno de los gimnasios, pues usted va a ser una vez más debidamente evaluado y va a ser supervisado por profesionales de punta y de primer nivel, así que es realmente algo importante. Para terminar, Brian, cuéntanos alguna historia favorita que tengas en pacientes. Alguien que te dijo que le hayas ayudado a cambiar su vida o le hayas salvado la vida. In closing, tell me about one of your favorite patient stories. Someone that might have told you, well, you really helped change my life. You saved my life.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. Being in this field for 25 years, you get a ton of stories. Oh. Yeah. You know, and some of the great things that have kind of happened along the way for me are just the stories of people who have said, you know, especially some of my older clientele who have said, oh my gosh, you know, my son or my daughter, you know, their families are getting ready to have babies, and now I want to really be there for my grandchildren, and I want to be able to be active with them, and to watch those same people then grow with the rest of their family and watch their, you know, grandchildren go through high school and realize that the entire time that person was allowed to actually be there for it all and not just be, you know, the matriarch fixture that kind of like sits in the corner, that they were involved. And we see that all the time. And that has to, you know, that's a goal of a lot of people. Or the people that have gone through physical therapy. And physical therapy is not a place that most people want to be. They're trying to get these injuries fixed. And what happens is once we teach them better things to do within their lifestyle, they realize that, like, hey, I've gotten a lot better just because of my activity levels.
Increíble. Muchas veces dice que pacientes que vienen donde él le dicen, quisiera que me ayudes a condicionarme físicamente a medida que estamos envejeciendo. Quiero estar para mis hijos, quiero estar para mis nietos, quiero tener una parte, digamos, más activa en lo que es la participación del día a día, no tener un rol secundario en el patriarcado, digamos, solamente como observadores, sino más bien participar activamente en la vida de esas personas. Gente que está teniendo actividad física o terapia física, pues están recuperándose de lesiones, vienen y obviamente las vidas les cambian porque les devuelven la capacidad de realizar actividad física y eso es algo importante en nuestra comunidad. Estimado Radio Escuchas, tenemos increíble cantidad de profesionales y facilidades en el Valle dentro de lo que es St. Luke's, así que una vez más vamos a estar con eso. Brian, thank you so much for coming this morning. What a pleasure to have you. And I'm hoping that in the future I'll have you back, you know, as a guest, you know, maybe discussing another important topic.
Oh, yeah, it was my pleasure. This was great. Thanks for having me.
Can you just briefly the kind of memberships that maybe the community can get in our gyms?
Yeah, sure. We have a couple different memberships within our facilities. We really do our general fitness membership, which, as I said, it really includes us doing a full assessment, kind of deciding where you're at now, mm-hmm, seeing okay. what your goals are. We do the goal setting, and then we design programs for you every 3 months. And then we also have our sports membership. So for our athletes out there who are really going to be dedicated to their sport, we do a lot of very sport-specific things with teams and with just general athletes.
And this is in all locations, correct?
Correct.
Perfect. Entonces, dos tipos de membresía, la general para cualquier persona, una evaluación profesional y además la membresía que se revisa cada 3 meses y la membresía para los atletas donde específicamente en condicionamiento físico para ellos. Brian, thank you so much again. What a pleasure to talk to you. I know that this is going to create a lot of, interest in the community. So I really thank you for coming this morning.
We look forward to helping as many people as we can.
Perfect. Y estimado radio escucha, si usted desea o necesita obtener más información sobre este tema o requiere hacer una cita con alguno de los profesionales de St. Luke's, ya sea Brian Sarbatani o alguno de los médicos especialistas, llame al 1-866-ST-LUKE. Visítenos en internet en la página www.slhn.org o visítenme en mi página web en el www.leonardoclarosmd.com. Será hasta la próxima semana. Gracias por estar con nosotros en sintonía. Nos vemos pronto.